And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's wild and wonderful. What's going to happen? We have no idea. Let's sit back and enjoy the ride. Can I get a Wowzer Bowser Wednesday? Because God is in charge of this crazy bus called The Christian Journey. First, on August 20th, which is exactly 1 month ago today, and exactly 4 years from when the Lord spoke to me, Noel and I went to Crossroads Church in Rowlett. So let me just say a couple things real quickly. Crossroads Church. Now, I only plug churches every so often, so you know it's like we don't do it a lot. But we went to this church. The pastor's name is Jason Collins, Pastor Jason Collins. He's one of the few people on the planet that's more animated than I am. I mean, he is animated. He used to be in theater. Just a great, great, great teacher. And so if you want more information, by the way, crossroadsrowlett.org, or you can always text me or send me an email and I'll get you the information. Anyway, so we go to Crossroads Church in Rowlett by Pastor Jason Collins. He makes these excellent points on this message, just phenomenal, on people living to please others and how they might even compromise who they are and what they believe just to find approval. Then as a pastor, which you hardly ever see, he acknowledged that he struggles with it himself. See that right there? When somebody gets on the platform and they're teaching and sharing with you and they tell you, yeah, I'm a mess too, you have to love that person. Pastor Jason calls, it's just what has to be said because it's true. And so he acknowledges he struggles with it himself, something I can totally appreciate, totally understand that. Any minister who acknowledges this earns my respect, but you know, it still has to be dealt with and it's still part of the challenge in the walk. So next, one of the biggest problems is that Christians in today's society are told often to, wait, put your Jesus face on. This means nothing to anyone in the kingdom of God because nobody specifies if it's the face Jesus made when he was healing somebody or when he was being crucified. So I don't know which face it is to put on. In fact, everyone who tries to change who they are is actually sinning against what God created, especially those in the transgender and woke arena. Sorry, that's what the word says. You don't like it? Argue with God. Finally, here's the key. God never makes mistakes when he's creating somebody. He never creates garbage or trash. People who don't see themselves as God's creation don't understand the high value he places on them. It's amazing how quickly we forget that God loves us and that we are his masterpiece. Even though we make mistakes and don't do everything perfectly, we understand that we exist in the forgiveness, grace, and mercy that comes through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. So, be yourself. It's a lot easier.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, maybe a few too many there on personal revelations. Spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? You can email us during the show, david@hemustincrease.org, david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us live during the show, no problem. 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us live during the show, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you make that phone call, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and creatures of all ages, and sizes, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid Dynamite.
There you go. Talking to Dynamite D. Watch this. You guys will love this. Talking to Dynamite D. This is what it's like. It's like reading a verse in the Bible, and then later that day, you hear that verse somewhere.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that cool? No. That feeling, that connection, that's what it's like to talk to Dynamite D. You owe me $1 million.
I'll take a day.
That's a good one. All right, here's the bottom line. Maybe you've got a prayer request. Bring it. You know, Hebrews 10:25, encourage one another as you see the day of the return of Christ getting closer and closer. Come, bring the prayer request. Let's bring it before the Lord. Two or more gathered together in his name. There am I in their midst. And when two or three agree upon anything, it shall be done. Let's use our faith. Let's combine our faith. Why two or more? Because there's more faith with two or more than there is with one. And so you combine your faith. And so we do that, and we bring our faith together, and it's like so cool. We petition the Lord. And then we rejoice, we participate together, we rejoice together. We also understand that you help carry one another's burdens in that way. Isn't that cool? Now, maybe you've got a praise report instead of a prayer request. I want you to think for a second. I'm gonna give you 1 second to think. Has God done anything awesome for you in the last 3 months? Has God done anything awesome for you in the last 3 months? Have you told somebody? Well, this is a great opportunity to do that. And if you have, I applaud you. If you're not comfortable, I fully understand it. Let us help you get there, because sharing those testimonies blesses people. And that's a big part of what we're trying to do. We also do trivia. I don't know if you guys know this or not. And this is going to be a really tough trivia question for some people to hear. And I don't want you to get offended. And if you do get offended, there's a big knob on the right. Or if you have an app and you don't like it, you have always have this off button. But here's your trivia question. Ready? It's one or the other. Ready? I shouldn't have said that, but it's one or the other. Here we go. What did God send as punishment to the murmuring people in the wilderness? Did he send A, searing serpents, or B, women from the show The View? What did he send as punishment to the murmuring people in the wilderness? Was it A, searing serpents, or B, women from the show The View?
Pretty interesting, Dave, especially number
Come
two.
Come on, that's just too funny. Come on, people. If you are not smiling a little, you are taking things way too seriously. If you want to, you can call in 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email to David at hemustincrease.org. Now, everybody knows there's a lot of joke in that. And if you're offended at that, then change the station. That's our advice. We don't want you to be offended. There's other stations. There's a lot of static about 16 channels over. Go ahead and send the person through. They're ready to answer the trivia question. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, Dave, it's Jay. You put the first smile on my face I've had in a few days.
Wait, say that again?
I'm sorry. I'm out in Weatherford. You put the first smile on my face that I've had in a few days. That trivia question.
Isn't that hilarious? So,
if you'll ask it again, I think I can answer it.
All right, here we go. What did God send as punishment to the murmuring people in the wilderness? Was it searing serpents or women from The View?
What's the difference?
I knew that was coming.
I figured you did.
All right.
I started to say even God's not that cruel, but you know.
We used to say when shows we didn't like a show, Noelle and I, here's what we would say. And I just listen. We would say, you know, what's worse, this or God making you watch reruns of this?
Right. It's like, I have walked out of movies before and said, I've just lost 2.5 hours of my life that I'll never get back.
Yeah, there's not enough. You paid for it, or in some capacity, it's like, I don't even think the candy was normal. You know, it's like.
You know, I've never thought of that, but I wonder if you walked up to the guy at the front selling tickets and asked for a refund of the movie, what they would say to you.
I've thought about that on several a movie. We'll just leave that there. But that's excellent. You know the answer. Steering serpents is the key. You know you got it right, but it was a great answer you gave. Just
well,
brilliant.
It's good teaching, and that's the wonderful thing about you, Dave, is all of your experience, the David Spoon experience, is such a wonderful teaching opportunity, and you do it so well.
Well, I appreciate that, brother. That's very, very sweet of you to say, and I've been praying for a breakthrough for you. That's my prayer for you, breakthroughs, okay?
Take care.
All right, God bless you.
God bless you.
Bye-bye. All right, so everybody needs to be praying for Jay. Just pray the same thing. Just pray, hey, look, Jay needs a breakthrough. What do? We pray. We pray. You pray. Why? Well, you think prayer is going to change it? Yes, prayer stopped the universe. So, yes, I think prayer is going to change it. What kind of silly question is that? Can you imagine any of these politicians saying that to Jesus' faith? Oh, what's prayer going to do? Well, nothing for you. You have no faith. That's just me imagining Jesus responding. All right, bear with me. All right, here we go. Let's get into our teaching. Great job, by the way, by Jay. Keep Jay in prayer, all right? Plus, you're supposed to be praying for the audience. That's everybody knows what's going on there. All right, let's get into this. This is from Pastor Jason Collin. He did this phenomenal teach, and I do want to give him the props for it because, you know, typically I don't do a lot. You know, there's a couple of sermons like – you know, Pastor Kurt at Stillwater did a phenomenal teach. This was like one of those kind of phenomenal. And you don't hear these often enough, but it's much better when the pastor goes, yeah, I struggle with this, because it becomes much more real for everybody to hear. It's not just this theory. It's just part of the process. So when Jason Collins, the pastor at Crossroads Church, preached this, it was like, wow, really good. So I'm going to use a couple of different verses to get to where he got to, but let's just look at, follow along or jot it down or listen to the podcast. I promise these are exactly what the quotes are. Matthew chapter 23, verse 27 and 28, and here it is. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Wow. First of all, Jesus said that to the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, which were basically the leadership, in case you're trying to figure that out. And here's the bottom line. It's fake. I don't care about the politics. I don't care about this. I don't want to hear any of that. It's people being fake Christians or faith people. And these people were religiously fake. They might have had a title. That doesn't mean anything. The disciples were smarter than the Sanhedrin simply because they spent time with Jesus. And they couldn't refute the disciples when they were trying to pin them down because Jesus was with them. So these guys, they're fake people. 1 Samuel 16:7. The Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at things the way that people look at things. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. God's not looking at that. Oh, that person's really sharp. Oh, that person really got it together. That person's coming off really good. They say everything, do everything, think everything great. God's looking at the inside going, what's really going on? Intent does matter. And the scripture says in the Old Testament that God reviews or judges the intent of the hearts. And I said, look, these guys were fake people. And you're thinking, wait, just a second. Well, how important is this to Jesus, this whole fake thing? Wait. I'll tell you how important it is. In the Sermon on the Mount, 3 times in chapter 6, Jesus deals with this. 3 times. In the first sermon where he's laying it all out, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, in the middle of the sermon, you know that's where the meat is. In the middle of the sermon, here's what he says. There's three things. Just follow these, and you'll follow. I know you'll get this. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with the trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. In other words, when you give, don't make an announcement. Just give. Just give. Don't, you know, look, I'm giving. Aren't I great? Don't do that. God doesn't like that. In fact, he tells them, Jesus tells them, the reward is that. They get nothing for giving. They just get the couple people going, wow, look how spiritual they are. That is their reward. And then Jesus says this in verse 5. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward in full. They're not going to get an answer to prayer. It's just that they're praying on the street corner. Oh, God. Oh, okay, really? I mean, how irritating is that to be just truthful about it, right? And wait. Then he says, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their face to show others their fasting. Truly, I tell you, they receive their reward in full. People who are fasting would put stuff on their face. Oh, what's wrong? You look terrible. I'm fasting. You get the theme of this? This theme is like, that's a bad idea. That's right. That's a bad idea. Projecting to be something that you're not, pretending to be something you're not, is a bad idea. Right? If you're a little messed up and you're truthful about it, that goes a long, that's why I give Pastor Jason the credit. That goes a lot further than, I've mastered this, but I'm still telling you. I don't think there is a teaching that we have ever done it's 9.5 years actual live radio, but it's in 45 years that we would say, oh, we've mastered this. Pfft. I haven't even mastered driving home on the freeway, let alone master some kind of principle in the kingdom. Give me a break. Let's at least be honest about it. We need help. Cool. Okay. As long as we can get the help from God, it's cool. We'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
When you are in the presence of the Lord and His presence is strengthening you. And we talked about that can happen through the Word of God, through prayer, and through fellowship. And then you go through some process where somebody sends you a text, or somebody sends you a letter, or somebody calls you, or somebody sends you an email, or somebody looks at you funny, or somebody kind of glances, or somebody says something about you, or you hear something about yourself, or you eat the wrong kind of tacos and you just feel bad and the joy is sucking away at the moment. Here is the answer while the devil is trying to take your joy away. Here is the key for the next 365 days for your life. When the devil takes the joy away by robbing you, you go back into the presence of God again. When the devil comes in and robs you and takes that joy, will you get up off your duff or your blessed assurance and you go into the presence of God again, be it prayer, be it Bible, be it fellowship, be it worship, be it whatever. I don't care. Get up and get back in the presence of God again. And when the devil comes around the second time and knocks on your door and you open it and he takes it from you again, then you get off your blessed assurance again and you get back into the presence of God again. And when he does it a third time, you do it again. And when he does it a fourth time, you do it again. Because the strength of the Lord is in the joy of the Lord, which is found in the presence of the Lord. And when he comes a-robbing, you go to refill. When the tank is empty, put gas in it. When you're depleted, fill it up. And you think, well, I can't do that. Why not? You did it the first time. Yes, but that was special. Why? Because you tried? Try again. But you don't understand. No, I don't care. That's much, much more heartless to say that, huh? That's a good one. I don't care. It doesn't matter. I care about the truth. I don't care about somebody's, well, my perception. Well, good for you. God bless you. When you can figure out that you can argue with God, let me know how that goes. If you win that argument, you come back. You can take the throne. But you ain't going to win it. So when the enemy comes and he comes a-stealing, you do exactly what you need to do to take it back. If he steals from you, you take it right back. Why? Because you can. Because he's not empowered to keep it from you. He's empowered to take it momentarily. You're empowered to take it right back. Take it.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Some people, I don't know, have you taught this before? You bet. You teach after, you teach for 9.5 years. Jesus repents. Think about that. Jesus didn't teach once on love in 3 years. Hello. Okay. I'm just saying. Right. So here's what you got to be aware of. What we're really talking about this is, look, you are, in a sense, you are under construction. Now, let me just explain this just a little bit, and then we'll do the trivia question. Jesus has paid the price for you, and you are saved. Now, God is making you look like Jesus, and you are being saved from your old self, practically. And in the future, you will be saved from the actual evils of all evils, and there will never be anything. So you have been saved, you are being saved, and you will yet be saved. This is under the you are being saved portion. This is under, so justification means you're just past tense saved, sanctification, present tense, glorification, future tense. Okay? You are under that process. We're talking about the under construction process, so people can understand. So in the meantime, let's do our next trivia question, because I want to make sure we give people that opportunity. John wrote his gospel for what reason? Number one, to be famous. Number two, for people to believe in Jesus. Or number three, to help the Romans. That's the question. Why did John write his gospel? Number one, to be famous. Okay, people write things to be famous. Number two, so people may believe in Jesus. And then number three, to help the Romans. So if you think you know the answer to that, you can, in fact. This is John the God. Good answer. 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So that's the question. I just want to make sure we got somebody on the line. So just shooting it to you one more time in case you want to text it in. John wrote his gospel for what reason? To be famous, for people to believe in Jesus, or to help the Romans? Remember, we're talking about the gospel of John and not the epistles. All right, let's send the people through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Oh, this is your little brother.
What's going on, little brother?
Hey, not much.
Are you ready? Did you hear the trivia question?
Yeah, sort of.
What is that?
I think he wrote his gospel to put a selfie because he was the beloved. Promote the selfie that he's the beloved.
That's right. He wrote the gospel to take a selfie.
Yes. Yeah. Before the selfie even somebody ever imagined in their mind.
Yeah. He was way ahead of the curve.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Because as the book of Ecclesiastes says, there's nothing new under the sun.
That's right. That's right. It just looks a little different, right?
All right. Beside all this, like he wrote to promote the gospel.
Yeah, he wrote for people to believe in Jesus. Yes, sir. Excellent, excellent job. Very funny on the selfie thing. That's a good line right there.
Yes.
I like that. Well, okay,
Dr. David, I have a question for you.
Okay. I might have an answer.
I know. Well, you're a doctor. You should have the answer.
Oh, yeah, that's
otherwise,
problem.
Otherwise, you're going to take your degree back.
Okay. Then I don't have to pay, right? Okay.
Hey, Dynamite D didn't give me the raise or bonus because you were saying talking to Dynamite D on Tuesdays, like, yeah, Wednesdays, like you're getting a extra bonus check.
That's
so
right.
He didn't give me that.
I told him 2 cents, David. He wasn't grateful for the 2 cent bonus.
All right, what's the question?
My serious question is,
go ahead.
Prophet Nathaniel told Bathsheba and David that their son's name is Jedediah. However, it's never mentioned anymore afterwards, so everybody knows Solomon. So what is the reason?
That's a great question. It's a pre-runner to Jesus. Did you know that? It's a pre-runner in this capacity. Jesus was named Emmanuel, but we only know him as Jesus. In other words, we primarily know him as one name, but he's got another name as a definition as to what he is in the heart and mind of God, so to speak. And so what it is, it's both names. It's almost like saying that Jacob is not Jacob anymore. No, he's still Jacob, but he's now Israel. In other words, there's this another element that's added to it. So when there's multiple names, and it's the same. I know this is going to sound terrible. It's the same thing when they're naming a place. There's one name, and then they give it another name. It's supposed to be ultimately known by both names, you know, unless it's a growth or something like that. But we always know Jesus as Jesus, even though we have a song, Emmanuel, and that's, you know, he was told to be named Jesus, but his name is also Emmanuel. It's like both the names fit. Well, in Solomon's case, you're talking about Solomon, right? In Solomon's case, yeah. Jedediah is another element, another definition for Solomon, too. And so God gives descriptiveness by both. And so in Abram's case, it's different because it went from Abram to Abraham, and that was a growth, right? But in Jesus and in Emmanuel, that's two separate definitions. See, so the Lord, what the Lord does is gives, look, this person is mighty, and this person is faithful, you might say. And so that would be a way to understand two different names for one person, two different concepts for one person, and yet they're both.
Oh, okay.
So does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean,
that's the best answer you're going to get.
Dawned at me this morning. I said, that's the only once they mentioned him when Nathaniel or Nathan brought that name to his parents.
Right.
But then there's no any other description about it.
Well, but it tells you that angels name kids, prophets name kids, and parents name kids, and God names kids. Everybody names kids. It's kind of funny. So I'm just saying. But yeah, the real reason is that the names reflect, and especially in the older time, the name, now it's just whatever's popular, but the name reflects the person and what the person is or isn't supposed to be. So if you study Jedediah, you'll go, okay. Like you see, that and Solomon. Oh, got it.
Yeah, thank you. Now you're a real doctor.
Well, one day. Not today, but one day.
Okay. Well, thank you, Dr. David.
All right. Bless you, brother.
Bless you, too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. So we're going to keep going because I don't have to do anything. All right. We have to do our DNA. We'll do that later. We have not forgotten. I got the right. So got it. So the DNA. Got it right here in front of me. But I want to get to this next section because this is a super important part for people to understand. Okay, everybody knows the story of Ananias and Sapphira. You know the story, right? And we're not going to get into the too deep part, other than the whole essence here is that when Ananias and Sapphira pull this prank of being something that they're not, the accusation from Peter is that they have lied to the Holy Spirit, and then he just says right after that, you've not lied to men, but to God. So when they lied to the Holy Spirit, they were lying to God, a definition that the Holy Spirit is God, by the way, if you're ever looking for one. And then what happened to them, it got ugly in a hurry, right? Because they were projecting something better than they were. I want you to understand this. They were coming off like, we are fully totally devoted to the gospel and to the building of the church, and we sold this for $200,000, and we gave $200,000, when in fact they sold it for $500,000, gave $200,000, and said they gave it all. Because why? They wanted to look good. Now, let's understand something. The SCA, you're like, the SCA, this is too much material. That's called the Standard Christian Answer, and we've talked about this before, and we'll talk about it again, is, how you doing? I'm fine. How's it going in life? I'm fine. Sometimes you're not fine. If you're going to take the time to ask somebody how they're doing, you know what? Stop and listen to see how they're actually doing. If somebody's going to ask you how you're doing and you don't want to share with them, say, just keep me in prayer, right? But don't softy and don't try and present it like you're a better, doing better kind of Christian than you're doing. Because you know it isn't true and God knows it isn't true. Sometimes when somebody says, how you doing? You know what the best thing you can do is say, I'm a wreck. I need prayer right now. Because that's, what is it? That's honest. And you think, well, what? No, see, this thing about being honest is important. It's not that we're going to do it perfectly, because Romans 3:4 says, let God be true, but every man a liar, which pretty much condemns everybody. Okay, so in case you want to think about that, just look at Romans chapter 3, verse 4. It's like, let God be true, but every man a liar. Yep, got that. Here's the thing. What I told you about when I was got my deliverance from the drugs, and I was honest in my prayer with the Lord, right? That worked out really great. I had another situation happen in radio where one of my better friends in the very beginning of the radio career that I had said, I told people I'm new at radio or whatever, and the sales manager came running in. He said, never tell people you're new. They don't want to know. I mean, they want you think you're seasoned and you're this and you're that. Hey, here's the answer. I'm not. If you think, well, you know, it's like now they're seasoning because there's 10 years. There wasn't in the first 5 months of radio. Right? In other words, just be honest about it. In fact, the miracle is in the honesty. The miracle. People ask me about my background. People get upset when you say, I came BC days before Christ. I was a mess. I mean, a mess. You know, doing B&Es in multi-million-dollar houses when my dad lived in the most expensive house in the entire neighborhood. How dumb is that? It's just stupid, right? Oh, don't tell people that. That's what happened. I'm going to tell them exactly what happened. Well, that takes away your credibility. It doesn't take away God's credibility. The fact that I came out of that and I'm doing this now, that's the miracle. That I'm alive, that's kind of the miracle too. What I'm trying to say is just be yourself. Why struggle to be somebody you're not? Here's the real answer in that. Watch this, ready? It's super hard to put up a front. It's super hard to keep that going. Don't do it. Well, I don't want people to think less of me. Who can? What, they got a heaven to put you in? Live for the author, not the audience. So this is all you want to do. And it doesn't mean that you have to be overly blatant about it. Like when somebody meets you, I used to do drugs. I used to sell cocaine. It's like, that's not what I'm talking about. I mean, that's just kind of weird. What you want to do is just be yourself. Be honest. I mean, that's what you want. Why? Didn't God make you? I mean, he saved you because you warped. Not he warped, you warped. And isn't that part of the testimony? I thought that is the testimony, that God took you when you were Play-Doh and not necessarily good Play-Doh, and then made you better clay, though. No more clay dough. Okay, like, see that kind of thing? And just like, let him be the Lord. That's the testimony part. You know, I think Christians would go a lot farther with non-Christians if they told that part.
Really would, Dave.
I mean, just like, oh, yeah, oh. And just even when you're struggling, yep, totally going through this, really hard time. But I'm praying every day and asking the Lord to help. I got other people praying for me. We believe. Oh, you think that's going to help? I'm going to keep praying and find out. Guess what? When your help does come, guess what you get to do? Yes, it did. It's like that's the testimony part. All I'm trying to say is you don't have to be somebody you're not. This is the problem that I have with obviously, I don't. Everybody knows where this is going to go to, but it's the problem with the transgender woke and all that other garbage. It's like what they're ultimately saying is God doesn't know how to create. What an insult to God. It's so affronting. You don't know what you're doing. No, a four-year-old should tell people what is wrong with you people. That's where you turn up to look up to the Lord and go, any hour, any minute now, you want to come, that's great. Let's do that. That's cool. All right, we'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience? Imagine yourself on a rocket ship racing at 1,000 miles an hour into space. Once there, you can sense the power and the presence of the majestic and the divine. You forget about your troubles and your fears, and you just float in peace without a worry in the world. There are no struggles, no pain, no discomfort. It's soothing, calm, comfortable. But then, the show starts. And you realize that none of that stuff has anything to do with the show. What were you thinking? The David Spoon Experience. Only for the brave of heart and the bored.
The David Spoon Experience.
They were sisters?
That is correct, sir! You are right! And it's like I'm not saying, I don't want to, you know, say it, but like, yuck. That's all I can say. It's like, I'm sorry, that's all I can come up with. Like, yowza.
Well, he was tricked into it.
So. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to go with that. But I mean, if you're the two sisters, you just got to be thinking, now, wait a second here.
Can I tell a real quick joke?
I won't
take up much time, hopefully.
Absolutely.
I'll try to make it biblical, but not scriptural.
I'm with you. That's about 99% of everything we do on jokes. Trust me.
I figured you understand. Well, to set this up.
Okay.
To set this up. When I ask the question, you'll have to answer it to the first thing that pops into your head. Otherwise, it's kind of like those knock-knock jokes. You have to say knock-knock, you know, or who's there. So anyway, Paul was out in the Mediterranean Sea. He was sailing across it. And right before the storm hit, he was writing some letters, and he was sitting there writing, and one of the sailors came up and looked at him and said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm writing some letters here." And Paul put down his quill and parchment and looked up at the sailor and says, decided this is the time to talk to him. He says, "Now, here's the question, David, and this is where you have to answer."
Okay.
What is a pirate's favorite letter of the alphabet?
And the
sailor said, "Nah, that would be the sea, matey, the sea."
That's a good one.
Okay.
So it's not the R. No, it's the C. It's the C, matey.
Hey, I love your show. Thanks for keeping it going.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for being such a great brother and a great support. We appreciate you.
If Jesus.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Last trivia question, because we're not taking a break. Just think about it. So we've just skipped two, technically, because we didn't do one in the first half hour.
You might as well forget that first hour, Dave.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy. All right, here we go. This is a great question. I know you guys will get this, but that's not the point. The tip of the hat, that's usually the point. Okay, here it is. Who became a pillar of salt? Morton's wife, Abraham's wife, or Lot's wife? Who became a pillar of salt? Morton's wife, Abraham's wife, or Lot's wife? You're just looking at me like, what are you talking about?
I want a lot of salt.
I'm just going to leave that there. If you think you know the answer, 972 445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, David, at hemustincrease.org. We are going to do our DNA. I don't have to do anything. I got to do DNA. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Every day that ends in Y, spend some time with the guy in the sky. Just that easy. And by the way, that is an answer to the original question on the show earlier in the very first segment. I said, what can you do this week to seek to grow in the grace of God? The number one answer of all scholars is to spend time in his presence and in his power, which happens through prayer. It's like that. So the answer to that, how do you grow in the grace of God? Spend more time with God. That's how you do it.
Simple, right?
It's like, okay. I mean, is that the answer to everything? Yes. And that's always the answer to everything, and that's always how it's going to be. Draw closer to the Lord daily, and never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never be ashamed of what Jesus had to say. If anybody tries to, you know, kind of trick you or get you or whatever, just like, doesn't matter. You stand firm in the word, never ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Never be ashamed of what Jesus had to say. And then A, always be ready
to serve.
To serve. OPM. Other people matter, which is not saying that you don't matter, but it is saying that if you're so focused on you, that you will drown, because there's no outlets, nowhere else to get help, nowhere else to give help, and then it's just a self-centered life, and you just don't want to live that life that way. It's terrible. Okay? All right. Once again, on the triv, then we're going back in the teach, and I got still the cover. We might still do the jokes. I might, you know, say the jokes. We'll just get to them. But here is the trivia question. Who became a pillar of salt? Is it Morton's wife? We're not talking the steak place, by the way. Is it Morton's wife? Is it Abraham's wife? Or is it Lot's wife who became a pillar of salt? Some people say a salt stick. I don't know. It's not for me to say. All right, I want to go back to this because it's exceedingly important to understand where we're going with this text. And yes, I know you know this, but don't tell me you don't need to be reminded. I need to be reminded about things every other week, if not every other day. Here's the thing, and I'm going to use this text on purpose and then go into this other text. Just follow what I'm going to do. You'll get it. In John chapter 1, Jesus said of Nathanael, when Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Okay? Now, what he had said prior to meeting Jesus is when they said, oh, you got to meet this guy, Jesus of Nazareth. And just we have talked about it before, and you understand Nathanael was the one that's like, Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Like, he was totally dissing the hometown of Jesus. I mean, I'm just telling you. And that's because Nazareth was not the greatest place. It wasn't Beverly Hills. Okay? A little bit more like Watts. It was more along those lines. And so he's like going, nothing could come out of there. And what's amazing is Jesus knew what he said. Right? Because he knew where he was. He was under the tree. He even told him, you're under the tree. And Jesus goes, there's nothing, there's no lie in this guy. It's like, wow. And you think, what was Nathanael's big contribution? Probably bigger than most people recognize. He was a straight shooter. He was like, yeah, that place is garbage. He's the kind of guy that would go to a hotel and go, what? Right? It's like, that's what you want. And the Lord loves that. The Lord loves that honesty, that sincerity. And why is that important for us to understand? Because being real is part of how God made you and I. So watch this. This is so, I just love this. You guys know this passage, except for the last word, which is the last sentence, which I want to get into. Everybody knows, grace by your saved. What should it be? Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Everybody knows Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one should boast. Verse 10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Here's the key. The word handiworks in the Greek is masterpiece. Now just think about it. Just stop. Right? Just think about a painting. Right? The masterpiece paintings of all society. We distinguish those paintings from every other painting. They're at the top. There's nothing like them, right? They're just the most fantastic pieces of work. Hey, you know what's funny? That's what God called you. His masterpiece. We are God's masterpiece. I mean, talk about somebody who knows how to create. Wait. So he creates the universe, right? Wait. He creates the universe, which is really, in many ways, it could be a multiverse. There's no problem with that because there's alternate routes that things that can happen. God knows what happens there. That's really what a multiverse is. And so the idea behind this is that God creates all that with all the planets, all the stars, everything that's going on, and then he drills it down on Earth and creates mankind, and then drills it down from his initial creation to offshoot creation. So we are all offshoots of the masterpiece that God created in Adam and Eve. And he made no mistake in making Adam and Eve. So you, as a result of that, were not mistakenly created or birthed, even though there was sin, there's sin in the ancestry. You are a masterpiece. God loves you. God built your DNA. And you think, yeah, but I have quirks. I know. The bad quirks are because of the sin that mankind, Adam and Eve, introduced, and then, of course, had kids in their sinful nature. And then sin, birth sin, birth sin, birth sin. But there's other things about you that are so unique and individualized. Like, for example, how about your fingerprints? How about your eye prints, right? Oh, they can take a piece of tape and put it on your fingertip and copy your fingertip. Yeah, but it's your fingertip. Don't you get it? It's yours. No one else has it. That's what's cool. That's how God does his creation. In Psalm 139:14, it says, I praise you, David said, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. David's like, I am awesome in how God made me. Now, he wasn't thinking he was awesome because of his sin. He wasn't thinking he was awesome because of anything else. And people complain, well, I don't like my nose, or I don't like this, or I don't like this. And then they spend their lives trying to change their image. The only image we should be shooting for is the image of Jesus Christ. There is no other. We want more of Jesus reflecting in us. But when God made you, he didn't make a mistake. He's never made a mistake. Isaiah 43, 4 and 5, since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I'll give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Don't be afraid, I'm with you. That's God's passion for you and I. He loves us. And some of us, we spend a lot of time beating ourselves up. Now look, the truth is, doing healthy eating and exercise, that's good. That's not a bad thing, right? Because you're trying to take care of the temple at that point. That's all right. That's good. But the obsession with image is such a sin. Remember Andre Agassi, right? Image is everything, right? With the Rebel Canon camera, the image is everything. It's nothing unless it's the image of Christ. It's nothing. But God didn't make, oops, I goofed on this one. You know, it's like the people that you talk to, and yes, I'm going to tell this joke, and if you get offended, I can't help you with that stuff. But it's like when people say, hey, when God was passing out brains, you thought he said trains, and you said, I'll take the next one. It's like people are like, come on. God didn't make any mistakes. He loved you, and he loved you, by the way, eternally. He doesn't even love you partially. I just point this out. Jeremiah 31, 1 through 4. At that time, declares the Lord, I'll be the God of all the families of Israel. They'll be my people. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. That's how God feels about you and me. He loves you.
Oh, I've got all these flaws.
He loves you. And what irritates me is that we just, it's the image, and then churches are trying to project images, and even on our show, we project an image. I hope most of the image is, whatever, we just want to get closer to the Lord. I hope that's the real image we have, Because when it comes down to it and all the theologies and everything else, I could care less. They're fun. I like studying them because they're cool. You know what I want? I want to wake up and have more of God in my car when I'm driving. I want to have more of God when I'm sitting at home going, the world's going crazy, Lord. I just want his presence to sweep over me and for me to go, yeah, I don't care. Not that you don't care about the world, but understand the priority. Pretending to be something we're not is an insult to God. And by the way, God loves you individually. I mean, I know there's this mindset that's like, well, God doesn't love me individually. Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. The word you is not always plural. Sometimes it's singular. It's like God loves you. 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 He's like, remain in my love, which means we ought to hang out there. And the reason that I get upset about this is because in the beginning of my Christianity, I didn't do this. How about that? I didn't recognize that what God did was just fine. I tried to re-image myself. That didn't work out very good. Since I ended up in a Christian cult, I would say that was a bad idea, right? Right? We're his masterpiece. And in fact, if you really want to get to the core of it, Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. Okay, so then you're telling me that God is what? Faulty? Okay. So doing all of that and bringing it all back to this simple process. Let me just say this, okay? You're a work in progress, and it's okay for you to grow and for you to develop. And have you noticed that after you've been a Christian for 45 years, the Lord has you grow in a new area, in an area you never thought possible, in an area you never thought you'd ever really have to encounter. And yet the Lord still requires us to grow in all these different areas. Why is that? Why isn't it just, why wasn't I good enough when I was on top and praying and doing all this stuff? The reason is because he's the one that's carrying out the completion of your salvation. He's the one that's doing the work. He's the one that's got you under construction. He's the one that's making you the way he wants to make you. And you think, yeah, I know, but when I was 30, I was all like gung-ho, and now I'm older, and it's like now I feel like I've gone through a lot of, hard process or whatever. And it's like, we don't get is that the older we are and the more we're wanting to stick with the Lord and be faithful and be committed to him, the more glory and honor he's getting. Do you get that? I mean, listen to that. Not when you first got saved, it was awesome. For most people, right? But now you've been through a lot, right? But guess what? You still want that. You still want him. You still have a passion for him. That is a testimony to the glory of God. Congratulations, God's using you to testify to the universe. Isn't that just like, oh, okay. Do I get a diploma? No. Why? Here's why. Wait, here's why. This is the part that just blew your mind. 2 Corinthians 3:17-18. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Cool. So no legalism. Cool. And we all, with unveiled faces, contemplate at the Lord's glory. We are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. In other words, ever-increasing glory. It's just like, you know what that means? It's that old classic joke. Step by step, inch by inch. Remember that? Well, that's how you're being made to look like Jesus. Step by step, inch by inch. And so you're 30 years in the faith and you think, well, I look like this or I look like this. You don't even know what you look like. God knows what you look like. And God's the one who's doing the construction, and God will let you know when the building is done. In the meantime, you're the building. Let him build. And don't try and put some kind of fake color on the building. Just be who we made you to be. You do really good at that if you're just yourself. And you don't have to try to be something else. But here's the ticket. You're under construction. God's still working on you. He's still doing stuff in your life. And you might say, but Dave, I'm in my 80s. So? I mean, I'm just saying. Moses was doing ministry right up until his last day.
You hear that stories about the preachers who are 105 years old and they're preaching in the pulpit and they're preaching, and then they die in the middle of their sermon and they fall over. Praise the Lord. We should all be so lucky, right? You're not done until he says you're done. That's when you're done. In the meantime, everything that he's making you has a purpose. And every time you go, I want to do more. I want to do it better. I want to walk more with more wisdom. I want to walk with more Jesus. I just want to be closer. I want to reflect you more. That glorifies God, even after tragedy. All right? How about the guy that wrote the hymn, It Is Well With My Soul? Most people know the story, how he was in the boat in the same area that his wife had perished in that earlier, and he wrote, It Is Well With My Soul. And how many people have sung that song and just given glory to God? So after the tragedy comes the glory. And I'm sure right now they're up there dancing, although they were older. So I think, like, older as in, like, you know, I think early. So their dancing might not be real cool. But they're still dancing on streets of gold. I don't know if there's a one way of dance in heaven. I don't know how that works. Anyhow, the bottom line is, nothing has been wasted in you. God never makes a mistake. There's nothing going on this wrong. You are part of his creation. He's working on you until the day he's done. And every step you take that keeps you in the Lord is an honor and glory to his name. And all of the people of the heavenly hosts are amazed. Isn't that cool? Come on! That's what the faith is. See this? All this other stuff's like, this stuff. This is the faith. Okay. Who became a pillar of salt? Morton's wife, Abraham's wife, or Lot's wife? I think we know the answer is Lot's wife. Morton is from the little Morton girl with the yellow thing. Salt. So that was all, you know.
A lot of salt.
A lot of salt, right? Okay, salt. All right, so listen, remember this stuff. God thinks you're phenomenal. He made you that way. You can appreciate that. Just stay in that, okay? All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Taking a 22.5-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.